Greetings and welcome to Journal of a Medical Intuitive. I'm your host, Dr. Jennifer Lisa Vest, and this is episode 28, the Vest Protocol for Medical Intuition. Some of you may be familiar with the fact that I'm a medical intuitive and that I've developed my own protocol that I now teach. I've been teaching it for a number of years. I first started teaching it in person, and I just started out light, just doing these little three-hour workshops. And this was because my students kept asking me to. I was teaching a lot of other classes. I was teaching psychic development. I was teaching Reiki. I was teaching intuitive healing, energetics. I was teaching mediumship. And, you know, my students were like, "You're a medical intuitive. Why aren't you teaching medical intuition?" And there was a very good reason for that, and that was that I didn't know if it could be taught because I didn't have a teacher, a human teacher, who taught me medical intuition. I had a lot of teachers. I've always had a lot of teachers, and they taught me a lot of things, which I combined in order to come up with the protocol for doing medical intuition. And so, you know, I had all these great teachers. I had traditional teachers in Afro-Caribbean healing, and I had teachers in Native American Sweat Lodge, and I had teachers in the spiritualist community teaching me about psychic development, mediumship, energy, spiritual healing. I had a Reiki teacher. I studied hypnosis. I studied pranic healing. So I had a lot of teachers. And I also always had my spirit teachers. And those are the teachers that have been working with me since, for as long as I can remember, since I was a very small child. And my spirit teachers, you know, would come and get me as a small child and take me out of my body and take me to the other world where I would go to spirit class. And I would learn all kinds of things in spirit class. They would also take me on tours of the future, of the past, of other parts of the world, and just kind of gave me a kind of well-rounded spirit education, you might call it, whatever that is. It felt that way to me. And so I've always had teachers, right? You cannot be a healer without teachers. In fact, I always tell my students, you know, I always have teachers. You should always have teachers. In fact, I'm always looking for new teachers. Whenever I go through a period of time without any teachers, I start to think, I want more teachers. And my guides are like, "No, we want you to do this, this, and this. Stop trying to learn all the time." Because I love learning. So I just read a lot. And when I get a chance to, you know, I take classes. And so I was reading all of these books on medical intuition. I was taking all of these classes on psychic development and mediumship. And I kept, you know, in these classes, I kept getting information that was of a medical nature. And so my teachers were like, you know, you have a unique gift. And it did seem to be the case because I was in classes for 5 years in the spiritualist community. I was taking like between 2 and 4 classes a week while I was there. And this was during my down low period where I was a professor by day and a psychic by night. And so I was taking all these classes, but it was, you know, on the DL. And so I was studying with all these teachers, and let me name some of my teachers because I always like to do shout outs. I used to have all of their names on my website. And then I got some web designer who reconfigured my website and said I had too many things on there. And so some of those things got ditched. But let me name a few of them. You know, my first spiritualist psychic development teacher was Maida Jones. And I started studying with her in Orlando, Florida. And then she took the class on a field trip to the Casadega spiritualist community, which is in Casadega, Florida. And I was just smitten with the place. The energy was amazing. It's on a vortex. And it was a camp. It's a community where everybody who lives there is a medium or a healer. And they offer classes and they have fairs and they have different events. And because it's a spiritualist community, their church is you know, readings. Like, you go to church and there's a medium on the dais giving readings to people. And you go to the church and there are healers in the back of the room and you're getting healings. And so I just fell in love with the whole community, the whole religion, the whole concept, thanks to Maida Jones. And so before Maida Jones, I had a lot of more traditional teachers, teachers that I did not seek out, who were always seeking me. And it wasn't until I got really sick and had a medical intuitive tell me, hey, you have to really get serious about developing your gifts, that I, you know, went and looked for a class and found Maida Jones. And her classes were excellent. And I'm really grateful to her. And I'm also grateful to her that she brought me to Casadega, because then I got to study with a lot of other great teachers like Mary Rose Gray, who's no longer with us, and Marie Gates, who I learned Reiki from. In addition to mediumship, I also worked with Stephen Atkins. I work with Joni Piper, amazing teacher. Now, Joni Piper, she's a medium of some renown, because she goes around and does platform work. Which platform work is when you give readings to a whole audience, kind of like some of the famous mediums you may have seen on TV do, like John Edwards or John Howland, one of those. Lisa Williams, she might do platform. It's where they stand up on a dais and they just start reading people in the audience. It's a particular form of mediumship. And Joan Piper has done a lot of platform mediumship, so she's pretty well known. And I was fortunate enough to be able to take classes with her. And what made her such a great teacher is that she was a kindergarten teacher before she became a mediumship teacher. And so she was just really good at teaching. I mean, I guess we're all kindergartners at heart, right? We all respond to that kind of very loving pedagogy, right? I also worked with, took classes with Don Zangy, and really I just took classes with so many people there. Kathy Grossclose, and my memory is probably failing me with regard to other teachers I had there. But, you know, Maida and Mary Rose and Joan Piper were the classes, the teachers I worked with the most. Oh, there was also a teacher there who is also now deceased, who I learned spiritual healing from, elderly woman, and I'm forgetting her name. She was also amazing. But here I was taking all these classes, right? And they were all on, you know, psychic development and healing and mediumship, but they weren't on medical intuition. But I kept getting, you know, medical information. And so my teachers were like, you know, you really should develop this. And so I ended up developing it by working with some of my teachers and some of my classmates and doing a lot of practicing and doing a lot of free readings for years and volunteering at churches and whatnot. And then at a certain point, I asked my guides, you know, is it appropriate for me to teach this? And they said, yes. And I said, okay, how? Because I didn't have a teacher I could model it after, right, who taught me medical intuition. Of course, I had lots of great teachers. And I know that my teaching is modeled after all of my great teachers, not just my healing and psychic teachers, but all of my teachers that I had when I went through my traditional education, getting my bachelor's in physics, my master's in history, and my PhD in philosophy and ethnic studies. So I had a lot of great teachers over the years. But still, how do you teach medical intuition? And so my guide said, you know, you have to reflect on the way you work, and then you have to systematize that. And so, you know, I talked about this a little bit in the last episode, but today I really want to go into more detail about what that process was like and what I ended up creating in terms of my curriculum. So I reflected on the way I worked, and that was challenging because I had to, you know, get clear about the way I was working. And, you know, if you're an intuitive, you know what it's like. A lot of times we just do things, right? We don't think about them. We just have certain things that we do as intuitives where we know how to get information. And if we haven't explicitly been taught a particular method, we just use a method that intuitively works for us. But when you become a teacher of anything, it always deepens your understanding of your subject matter, because you have to then figure out, how do I know what I know, and how can I help other people to know what I know? And so as I was going through that process, I started to just write down all the steps in my own process of scanning people to do medical intuition. And that's how I came up with the VEST protocol. And, you know, so this is what I teach now. And I used to teach it in person, these little workshops, and then I started doing like weekend classes, and then I started doing month-long classes. And now I have a class that's an on-demand class that I have available on my website that you can take anytime, where I've just, you know, condensed all of the teachings into one really in-depth course. So I'm not going to go into all the details of everything I teach in my course, but I just wanted to give an overview just so people have an idea, what do I mean by medical intuition? Because, you know, there's a lot of medical intuitives out there, and we don't all work the same. And I'm just so happy that there are so many of us, because when I was starting out, there were not. There were very few, and there were very few places to learn it. And now there's lots of teachers out there. You can learn it from me. You can learn it from someone else. There's so many options. And so everyone needs to like be guided to whatever teacher, you know, they feel comfortable with. And whoever you're guided to, that person is going to teach the course the way you need it to be taught. And that's why we need as many teachers as possible and as many medical intuitives as possible. So, the real motivation for me in creating this course was I want to produce as many medical intuitives as possible, because my vision for the future of medicine is that we will have a medical intuitive in every clinic, so that when you have something going on with you, you don't just go to a doctor who spends 15 minutes with you seeing if you fit into a rubric that they've been trained to look for. No, you go to a medical intuitive, you go to a clinic, they send you to the medical intuitive first. The medical intuitive does a scan of you, makes a report, and then gives it to the doctor or whoever your practitioner is that you're going to go to next. And then the doctor runs their own tests and does their own exam and their own QA. And then they combine what the intuitive found with what they found in their examination. And then they order tests to confirm or disconfirm what the intuitive found, right? Because it's been my experience working with clients that the people that come to a medical intuitive are often coming because they weren't able to get answers from their regular healthcare providers. And so we're kind of the last-ditch effort. We used to be. I think it's changing now. I think more and more people are going to medical intuitives earlier on in the process. But when I was starting out, and for many years, the bulk of my clients were coming to me after they had already tried everything else. And so what I found in these cases, obviously a lot of these people had had tests done. They had had examinations. And so it wasn't that they hadn't consulted with someone. It wasn't that they hadn't gotten a professional opinion. But it was that somehow the people kept missing what was going on, right? The practitioners they were going to kept missing. And there were a lot of reasons, which I've gone into in other podcast episodes. I might do another episode on what are all the reasons that people don't get the help they need from the kind of mainstream medical professionals. But I don't want to talk about it like in a highly critical way, because I think we all have to work together. That's why my vision for the future is that all the clinics have a medical intuitive, and they also have a licensed healthcare worker, whether it's a allopath or a naturopath or a doctor of Chinese medicine, but there's some licensed healthcare provider there. And there's also a medical intuitive. So we all have to work together. Because what I found is that I would scan my clients, I would find things, and I would be able to recommend to them, hey, ask your doctor to run this test. And then their doctor could get the objective empirical data that backs up what I found, right? And that's what we need, right, in the future, is we want to combine the intuitive with the empirical. You know, we don't want one or the other. We want to combine them because we're all failable, right? Doctors are failable, intuitives are failable, machines are failable, right? But if we all work together and we kind of maximize our sources of information, then we're going to be a lot more likely to help people. And so I often had clients where I say, you know, go and get this MRI, go and get this blood test, go and get this kidney function test, whatever. And if they could actually get the test, because of course they couldn't always get it because sometimes doctors wouldn't listen to them. But when they were able to, and they were able to actually confirm what I found, or more importantly, finally find a solution to their problem, it was just amazing for them, right? Because there are people coming to me and they're having, you know, mystery complaints. And a lot of times they just didn't have the right test done, you know? The right test wasn't ordered. And once the right test was ordered, bingo, now we know what it is. Now we can treat it. And so, you know, it's so important for us all to work together. So when I was, you know, sitting down and thinking about how am I going to construct this training program, I had to start going through all of the steps that I go through. And so I wanted to just go over those today in brief. And then, you know, you have some idea of what the VEST protocol of medical intuition looks like. And it might be different from other, you know, it's going to be different from other medical intuitives. I'm really hoping that one day we have a really nice big organization of medical intuitives. I mean, there's one that I belong to called the International Society of Medical Intuitives, but we don't meet. It's just kind of an online directory. And I do think other groups are being formed. But I hope that we'll form a group in the future that's more like an academic organization where people are getting together to share ideas and to help to standardize the field and to help further the field rather than people getting together, you know, to make money. So like some of the people that are forming groups now, they're doing so because they just want to collect like membership fees from people or they just want to find a way to, you know, become an authority in the field to kind of raise their status. And these are not really the right reasons to form a group. I think a group should be formed in a disinterested way, a self-disinterested way, just to further the field. And I'm sure someone's going to do this, and maybe they already have, and I just don't know about it. I know that up in Canada, there's a college dedicated to medical intuition, and it's just very exciting. And so there's just a lot going on in different places. But let's get back to the VEST protocol. So this is what the VEST protocol looks like. I'm going to go through some of the steps in the VEST protocol. And there's between 9 and 11 steps. I kind of change the number at different times I teach it, depending on how I'm discussing the steps. But I'm going to go over 10 steps today. And the first step is setting up sacred space. And this is a step which might be considered controversial for some practitioners because there are some medical intuitives who are really interested in making their practice look similar to mainstream medicine. And so when you go into like an office of a you know, allopath doctor like in the United States, this is my frame of reference, you go in and they have like white walls and white furniture and beige, and you know, there's no art, there's nothing unique or distinctive or artistic about the space, and the doctors wear, you know, very plain white clothes or scrubs or something, right? They don't have anything like beautiful on. They don't have ceremonial robes or special jewelry, headdresses, right? And there's this kind of very, very monotone approach to healthcare, to like how healthcare is represented. It's all one color, it's just solid colors, and and people, you know, try to look alike, you know, wear the same clothes. So it's a certain aesthetic, right? But it's not just an aesthetic, it's also, and I'm bringing up aesthetics because aesthetics are related to sacred practices, right? So a lot of sacred practices are about beauty, or about bringing beauty into a space. And they're also about bringing tradition and ceremonial objects and objects that are imbued with special powers and beliefs and effects on people. And so I teach my students to set up sacred space before they do anything, before they do a medical intuition scan, before they do healing, before they do a psychic reading. And that's because I've been trained not just by, you know, spiritualists or like, you know, Western psychics who tend to teach in a way where there are no tools, there are no ceremonies, but I've also been taught by ceremonialists. I've been taught by Native American and African American and Afro-Caribbean ceremonialists. And in those practices where I've been trained, there often is ceremony, there's often beauty, there are often certain clothes and certain objects and certain rituals and certain music that are brought to the healing experience. And we all have different cultures, and so I'm not going to expect my students to do things the way I do them. But what I want to encourage my students to do is to think about sacred space and to think about how can I decorate my room and my person so that I'm going to increase the vibration of the space. I'm going to cleanse the space of any negative energy or any residual energy from the last client or my family if they're also sharing the space. And how am I going to make it a really comfortable place for my client that's going to really put them at ease? And so that's, you know, setting up sacred space. It might have to do with how you decorate a room, how you... whether you use an altar or crystals or flowers or sprays, or whether you burn some herbs, you put up certain types of artwork, you play certain types of music. And all of those things can be used to set up sacred space. And that's really the first step of the VEST protocol for medical intuition. Now, the second step is doing a self-inventory. And this is where the medical intuitive has to take stock of themselves, what's going on with them physically, what's going on with them emotionally, so that you are sure that you are ready to perform a scan. You don't want to get in the way, right? The third step is doing a full body scan. And this is where you act like an MRI machine using clairvoyance and you scan the body from head to toe. A variation on this is to do a question scan, and that's where someone, the client, asks you a question, and then you just scan whatever part of the body you think is relevant to the question. Next step is a system scan. Now, a system scan is when you are scanning through, I like to think of it as layers, but you're scanning the area that you've identified. Oh, so I've misplaced my steps, but you know, I put them as steps, but of course they don't all happen in a linear fashion, but you learn them that way. I teach them that way in the VEST protocol. And then once you become a developed medical intuitive, you start to move the steps around as needed. But you know, a system scan is something you can do to figure out what system is the problem in. And so is it skeletal? Is it respiratory? Is it urinary? Is it reproductive? Is it endocrine? Right? What's the system? And so that's another kind of scan that you can do in the VEST protocol. Then there's the zoom-in scan, where once you've identified a problem using the MRI scan, you can zoom in to find out, okay, let me get more details. I see it's an abdomen. Which organ in the abdomen? Let me zoom in. Okay, now I see I'm in the liver. What part of the liver? Let me zoom in again. Right? So it's like you have a telephoto lens on your clairvoyance. Another step is asking for clarification. This is where we use clairaudience, where we've already used clairvoyance to get information about location, and now we're maybe asking for clarification, and we want to hear it. clairaudience is incredibly helpful because you can get the specific names of diseases, specific names of organs, of parts of organs, of insufficiencies or problems, right? They can be, you can hear them. And I found this to be really helpful when I was first starting out, because when I first started out as a medical intuitive, before I became a medical intuitive, I was getting all this intuitive information for myself because I was sick. And I had a bunch of mystery ailments, and I was going to doctors, and I was going to all kinds of practitioners. You know, I was going to therapists, I was going to hypnotherapists, I was going to Chinese doctors, I was going to naturopaths, I was going all over the place. And I was getting diagnoses I didn't like, I was getting lack of diagnoses from other people, I was getting, we don't know, I was getting, you're crazy, you know, I was getting all kinds of unhelpful responses. And then I was getting medically gaslit because I'm a woman, and it's very, you know, very common for women to get deal with medical gaslighting in the healthcare system. And part of that really is because, you know, mainstream Western medicine is based on men's bodies. All of the research has been done in men, and for, you know, so long now, you know, everything in Western medicine has been based on male bodies, and, you know, women's bodies are much more complicated than male's bodies. So it's kind of silly that you would base a whole field on the simplest version of a human when you should probably base it on the most complex version of a human and then extrapolate back to the simpler ones, right? That's just one of my pet peeves. But anyway, in the future of medicine, we will do that. And so I was having all of these experiences, right? And so I started getting all this intuitive information. And I tended to get a lot of clairaudience where I would suddenly hear, you know, a word like thrombus. Or I would hear, you know, tachycardia. I would hear seizure, whatever. I would hear these words. And sometimes they were words that, you know, I didn't know what they meant. Oftentimes they were words I didn't know what they meant. I had to go look them up. So like early on in my medical journey, I was shown that I needed, it was shown to me in pictures because I didn't know anything about heart medicine and I had not yet been diagnosed with a heart condition. So I was getting like a treatment plan from my inner physician and I got it in symbols and it was like calcium channel blocker. And the way it came through was really funny because it was like chalk was the calcium and then channel was, I was shown like a Rolodex or channels, something. And then I was shown like these sawhorses in the road creating obstacles, you know, blockers. And I figured out that it was calcium channel blocker. And so years later, when I was at the Mayo Clinic and I got diagnosed with something, I specifically asked for the calcium channel blockers and I was denied them because the cardiologist at the time just wasn't that knowledgeable about my condition. And so she put me on beta blockers, but eventually I did get put on calcium channel blockers. It was a complete game changer, right? Like I spent years, you know, like suffering unnecessarily until I finally got on the right medication. And that was only because of my intuition. And so you can get something like that. I mean, in that case, I was working clairvoyantly. I got it in symbols. But sometimes I would get words, just I would just hear them. And, you know, like I might just hear a word and then I would go look it up in a medical dictionary. And of course, now you can just Google everything. But back then I would go and get a medical, you know, I had this really nice medical dictionary. I would look it up. And then I would use these words to figure out what was going on in my body. And then I would go and talk to my doctors and try to, like, I would get words for tests and I would be like, can you run this test? And so clairaudience can be just incredibly, incredibly useful gift. And I really wish sometimes that I could just work clairaudiently all the time. Right. Because, you know, it'd be nice just to be told this is what's wrong. You don't have to figure anything out. No symbols. No, you don't have to see it. You don't have to feel it. You can just get the exact information. And, you know, that's why, you know, medical mediumship, which is another form of medical intuition,
can be really alluring to people, because in medical mediumship, what you're doing is you're not tuning into the person's body. You're just talking to a spirit who's accessing the information for you. So you're working as a medium, and then you have the spirit, just the spirit doctor telling you what's wrong with the person. And there are strengths and weaknesses with that particular method of working. I also work as a medical medium, but I combine all of my gifts. So let's go back to clairaudience. So asking for clarification, getting actual words, can be really helpful. It's more helpful if you already have knowledge, like if you are already trained in a healthcare field, you've already gone through some extensive training, and you know the names of a lot of diseases or a lot of anatomy, then if you hear something, you recognize it right away. If you don't have that training, then every time you hear a word you don't recognize, you have to look it up. And so I did start teaching anatomy in my medical intuition courses, and I always recommend that people who are wanting to become medical intuitives study anatomy, because it just saves time. Because if you can hear and see very clearly the part of the body where something is, it just speeds up the scanning. You know, it just makes it easier than being like, oh, I see a round organ that's kind of this shape like this. It's on the right side of your body. I'm not sure what it is, right? But if you know where, oh, that's a kidney, oh, that's an ovary, right? Remember when I first started out, I was always getting kidneys and ovaries mixed up, because the way I see the body clairvoyantly, I see, you know, shapes. And, you know, the ovaries, it's like you have a twin set, right? One on each side, and then the kidneys are the same, and they're both kind of in the same region of the body. And so I used to see them similarly. But, you know, if you know anatomy, you're going to understand more of what you are hearing, if you're hearing anatomy terms. And it's also going to help you with what you're seeing. And so asking for clarification, that's another step. Another step is reaching out for causes. Let's say you find something, a problem, but that problem was caused by something else. And this often is the case, right? That someone coming to you with a symptom, that's not their primary issue, right? Maybe it's a secondary or a tertiary problem. And so let's say somebody has, a digestive disorder where they're unable to absorb certain nutrients. And then that ends up affecting their kidneys. And then as a result of their kidney malfunction, they start having a problem with edema, where they're suddenly swollen up and they're having problems with fluid in their body. And they come to you and their complaint is, oh, you know, I can't lose weight. I've just blown up and it doesn't seem to matter what I eat. And they might talk about some other symptoms. And so, you know, if you have this step where you can look for causes, maybe you find edema, right, in their body. And you're like, oh, okay, I found the cause of your weight gain, your unexplained weight gain. It's edema, right? It's water retention. And then you want to find out, okay, what caused that? So you have to look for causes. And that's another step of the protocol. Now, another step of the protocol, the VEST protocol, is telepathy with the body. And so telepathy is a gift where you can communicate like mind to mind with another person. But telepathy can be done with animals, and it can also be done with organs. It can also be done with plants and rocks. This is what, you know, my tradition believes, that we can talk to everything. So telepathy with an organ allows you to ask questions of an organ. So let's go back to the example I gave where, you know, the problem looks like weight gain, and then that looks like it's caused by fluid, and then that looks like it's caused by a kidney problem. But then it turns out that the real problem is the malabsorption of nutrients and the lining of the stomach, say. In that case, you might want to have a conversation with the stomach and find out what's wrong, what do you need, you might start with a conversation with the kidney, and then the kidney might tell you, it's not me, it's the stomach, right? Don't blame me. I'm just responding to adverse conditions, right? So having these conversations with organs can be really helpful. And then we have the, and so this, all of these steps that we've been going over at the first part of the FAST protocol are all having to do with physical symptoms and physical causes of physical symptoms. But the FAST protocol for medical intuition actually looks at physical causes of physical symptoms, emotional causes of physical symptoms, and spiritual causes of physical symptoms. But we spend a lot of time, I spend a lot of time in the FAST protocol teaching about identifying physical causes of physical ailments. Even though most diseases and illnesses are caused by a combination of physical, emotional, spiritual causes, right? But why do I do that? It's because I found that most of the people who are having a hard time getting a diagnosis, getting answers, getting a treatment plan for whatever they're going through, most of them do not have a physical explanation for their symptoms. They don't, no one has been able to figure it out. And so that tends to be what they need most or what they need first. And it is really important because in our society, if you have physical symptoms and there's no identified physical cause, because of this kind of weird dichotomous way of thinking we have in the West, you're perceived as not really sick, or your symptom or your situation is not serious or important, that somehow it has to be a physical disease for it to be taken seriously. Now, of course, we know that if somebody has a mental health condition, that's also serious, right? But we just have some kind of, we have a lot of learning to do when it comes to understanding emotions and how they impact our physical bodies. But in the meantime, we're dealing with a system that doesn't really understand that. And so what I often have is people coming to me who have really been harmed by the medical system because they have been treated in ways that are, you know, disrespectful, not validating, not validating their experience, not and bottom line, not helping them get better. I mean, that's really what they want, right? They want to be better. And so, what people really often need most is they need to know physically what's going on. And so this is why, you know, the FAST protocol focuses a lot on physical causes. Also because I do think that's the strength of medical intuition. You know, we have lots of other modalities out there that do other things, that address other things. And what's unique about medical intuition is that it really does address physical illness. Yes, it also addresses emotions. Yes, it also addresses spiritual topics. But what's unique about medical intuition is that it provides verifiable and actionable information about the physical cause of symptoms. And that's what people need oftentimes when they come to a medical intuition. They need to know what's causing this, right? Now, when people want to get into the why, that's when we might get more into spiritual causes. Spiritual causes are going to tell you the why. Emotional causes might tell you the why. Physical causes tell you the what. What's causing these symptoms, right? So we spend a lot of time in the FAST protocol looking at what is causing these symptoms. What physically, physiologically, structurally, pathologically is going on in this body to create these symptoms, right? Now, once we do that in these first, you know, eight, nine steps that we have in the protocol, we then have a couple of more steps where we start looking at things like emotional causes. And so there's an emotional body scan. And this is where you're bringing in more of your intuitive healing gifts, where you're learning how to perceive the aura,
and to access emotional causes of illness that way. Also, the telepathy with the body can help us to access emotional causes of illness. And oftentimes, illness is, I have found, caused by physical and emotional causes. But like I feel like a broken record when I'm always talking about this. We just, our mainstream medical institutions don't really have a handle on this yet. And so you'll find these kind of crazy things being said where, for example, certain populations will be told that their symptoms are caused by emotions, right? Like women or people of color. And then other populations will be told that their problems are physical. And of course, neither is true, right? We're all a product of our emotions and our physical bodies. And so it's usually helpful, once you've identified the physical causes, to then also go into the emotional causes. So like, okay, you have this particular problem with your, you have a skin condition. And, you know, we can see now what some physical causes are for this skin condition that it's, you know, it's related to such and such process. But then we also might ask, are there any emotional triggers, right? You have a heart condition. Okay, we can figure out that you have a blockage here and you have this. Maybe you have a vasospasm here, or you have a problem here with your microvascular. You know, we can look and find the physical, structural or physiological or pathological causes. But is there also an emotional component? Is stress a part of it? Like, we know this about heart disease. We know this because it's in our popular lexicon, right? Oh, you're going to make me have a heart attack. Oh, you know, Sirius has a heart attack. Oh, you know, right? We have all this language because we know that when people are really stressed out, they have heart attacks. Does it mean that there's nothing wrong with them physically and they're just stressed out? No, it's not an either or. They're having heart attacks because they've got some physical issues in their body and they're stressed out, right? And so when we start looking at the emotional scans, what we're looking to do is add information. We want to know, okay, we got the physical causes. What are the emotional causes? Are there any? Are there any that would be useful to know that could really help with the treatment plan? And then the final steps of the FEST protocol are the spiritual scanning. And this really is a whole nother field. And so, like, in my medical intuition course, I don't include the spiritual scanning, because in order to do the spiritual scanning, I actually have people learn how to access the Akashic records. And so, because that's how I work. And so when I started to want to look at what are the spiritual causes of people's illness, and I'll give you an example. Spiritual causes include things like life purpose. Is this illness a part of your purpose? Is this illness an indication that you're off purpose? Another cause could be a soul contract. Do you have this illness because of a contract you have with another soul? Is this a karmic illness? Are you having this illness to balance out something that happened in a previous incarnation? Is this illness here because it's a tool for you to teach somebody something, or a tool for you to learn something? Is it related to life lessons or life teachings, right? Those would all be spiritual causes of illness. And so to access those, the way that I recommend people access that is by visiting the Akashic Records, because you can go to the Akashic Records and you can sit in on a pre-life conference and find out, what was that person's purpose? Did they sign up for this illness as a part of their, you know, life path? Is it related to a contract? Right, you can get that information in the Akashic Records. Now, you can also get spiritual information in other ways. If you are a medium, you might be able to talk to one of your client's guides, and the guide might be able to tell you what the spiritual cause of the illness is. And so that is why I teach the medical intuition course by itself, and then I teach a separate Akashic Records course because it really does require a lot of training to be able to do all of that. I say a lot of training, but you know, I've condensed it into these two courses that you can take in a few weeks, whereas I spent years developing this. I do recommend that people do spend as much time as possible practicing before they actually start hanging a shingle and charging people. You know, do these things for free for as long as you can and get really good. That's what I did, and that's what I tell people to do. And so that's kind of in a nutshell the VEST protocol. And of course, there's a lot more details that I go over in the course, but, and I just wanted to say a little bit about my my approach. You know, my approach includes just so many different gifts. And I know that there are some medical intuitives who only work with one or two gifts because that's the way they developed. But I had certain teachers who were always pushing me to develop as many gifts as possible. And what I found out was that if you have a lot of gifts on board, if you develop as many gifts as possible, then you have a lot to fall back on if one of your gifts isn't working. So, for example, clairsentience. Clairsentience is a very powerful gift for medical intuition. That's the ability to feel somebody else's feelings, feel somebody else's symptoms. I actually skipped that step, I just realized. The aura wrap, that's another step in the VEST protocol. And so the aura wrap is where you reach over and you pull in someone's symptoms into your body, and then you examine your own body in order to find out what's wrong with them. Now, everyone's not going to want to do that. And if you're not feeling well on a particular day, you might not feel up to working clairsentiently. It might not be advisable to work clairsentiently. If you're physically or emotionally unwell, you might be like, well, I'm not well enough to do clairsentience, but I feel like I'm well enough to still do a scan, right? And you have to make that determination in your self-inventory. But let's say, you know, you do feel you can do the scan, but you just can't bring clairsentience on board. And I've done many scans like that where on a particular day, because I either wasn't feeling well or I was going through something stressful at home, I just, you know, I made that executive decision before I started the scan. Okay, I'm not working clairsentiently today. Now, I can do that because the VEST protocol relies on so many other gifts that if you don't have one gift on board, you can still do the work. You just rely more on the other gifts. So you work more with clairvoyance and clairaudience and claircognizance and telepathy, right? And you just don't work with clairsentience that day. Or if someday your clairvoyance isn't strong, you can over-rely on your clairsentience and your clairaudience. So the VEST protocol teaches students how to really bring all those gifts on board and use all of those gifts to do the scanning. And so that's one of the kind of assumptions or the kind of underlying premises of the VEST protocol, is that we should be using as many gifts as possible. And in that same vein, you know, that's why, you know, we also can bring in medical mediumship, and we also can bring in the Akashic records into the medical intuitive scan. So we're just bringing in as many intuitive resources as possible, right, to help the client. Because another step in the VEST protocol is to use intuition to evaluate treatment options or testing options. So I designed the VEST protocol in such a way that I set it up so that I feel that anybody with any kind of background in intuition, any kind of development, whether it's clairvoyance or clairaudience, it doesn't really matter what your background is. If you already have some type of gift on board, you can learn the VEST protocol and develop additional gifts and, you know, learn how to do this work. And I've gotten a lot of positive feedback that suggests that this is the case. And I, you know, like I said at the beginning, I didn't know if I was going to be able to teach this and it was going to work, because I thought, well, maybe this is a unique gift and only a few of us have it. And you know, but that doesn't seem to be the case. It might have been the case maybe 20 years ago, but I think with the global shift in consciousness, that we are seeing more and more people expressing gifts and developing gifts and, you know, being able to learn all of these modalities. So that's my VEST protocol, kind of in a nutshell. And if you want to know more about it, you can take my medical intuition course, which is on my website. You can look in the podcast notes. But yeah, I'm also I'm open to questions, so I just wanted to put that out there. If you have a particular question about medical intuition or about how I work or my experience, feel free to drop a comment below. If you want to support this podcast, you can join my Patreon account, Jennifer Lisa Vest. You can also always just Venmo me at Jennifer Lisa Vest on Venmo. Or you could sign up for one of my classes. Feel free to reach out with any suggestions for podcast topics and also any feedback. If you like what you're hearing, if there's some things you don't like, you want me to talk less about, let me know. I really enjoy sharing, and whenever I'm encouraged to share more, I share more. And so I've been recording more episodes lately because I was getting a lot of requests for more episodes, and so I'm going to try to do this more consistently now because I do enjoy it, and it's a part of my purpose to teach as many people as possible. And so if this episode helped you to develop your gifts as a medical intuitive, then my work here is done. Or if it helped to confirm some things for you or helped to set you on a path to get more training, whether from me or someone else, then it has been a success. So thank you for joining me. This has been Journal of a Medical Intuitive. I'm your host, Dr. Jennifer Lisa Vest. See you next time.